Well, how many of you made a New Year resolution already? Nobody? Okay, good. Don't make them because you'll break them, right? That's my philosophy. They say on average that about 2 weeks into the new year, you'll already quit that resolution, whatever it is. You decide to maybe start eating better or working out or do something like that. They say it only takes about 2 weeks. I hope not. Resolutions. Now look, if you will, in your Bible, Philippians chapter 3, jump down to verse 7. Now, Paul, again, is writing to this church in Philippi, as you know, and this church was a very, very, he calls them a crown and joy. He loved this church, and they were a church. They had faults and failures, just like everybody else, but he loved this church because of their strong faith, but he gives them a little bit of who he is. Now, we won't read all of it, but if you read the whole chapter 3, he gives his pedigree, remember? Says, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews, I'm this and that, I'm all these things. And then notice verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I what? Counted loss for Christ. There's priorities right there. Okay, what's important to you? That's what Paul says. Yea, doubtless, excuse me, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Now remember that. He didn't just lose some things, didn't just lose money. He didn't just lose a nice vehicle and other things. He lost all things. And according to some historians, they believe Paul lost all of his family as well. They all rejected him, all his friends, everybody. So he lost it all. Okay? And do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Again, now a lot of newer versions will replace that word dung with something else because they feel it's offensive. Not if you are coming out of sin, you call those things that kind of stuff because you don't want to go back to it. You know, he's using such a we could say, vulgar word because of that, what it is, that old lifestyle, that sinfulness. He says that I may win Christ. Verse 9, be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, can't work yourself to save, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may, notice, know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And then he says in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now we'll pause there in our reading for a minute. But you think about what Paul is saying. He says, I'm resolute. I'm making a resolution, if you will, to press on, press forward. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Okay, I'm going to keep going. And then he says, I've not apprehended yet. I'm not telling you that I've arrived. I don't have everything under control. I don't have everything in the bag. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm not to heaven yet. By the way, you're not there yet. One day you'll breathe your last breath and you'll pass over into eternity. But until then, we ought to be pressing on. He says, I press toward the mark. And by the way, you ought to set a target in your life. What's the target for you? What am I pressing forward towards? Is it more money, more things, more materialism, other stuff like that? No, it's not. We're pressing forward to know him. Okay, now notice in your notes, let's read some of this, that there is something about the changing of a calendar that seems to give us a fresh start. Well, it's a special time of setting goals over those next 12 months and of making resolutions to improve. There are many worthy goals. Maybe you're building something. Maybe you're working on getting out of debt. Maybe you're working on your health, setting goals for exercise and diet, whatever it may be. Now, the list can go on and on. Matthew Henry was a great Bible commentator. He wrote a commentary on the entire Bible. I have the whole volume in my office, and it is a huge set. But notice what he said. He made a resolution January the 1st of 1704. That's a long time ago. But listen to what he said. I covenant for this new year and for my whole life to walk closely with God. I bind myself to follow the Spirit of God in all. Behold, here I am. Let him do with me as seemeth good in his eyes. That's pretty good, isn't it? Very long ago. Now, there's a great deal more to the Christian life here on earth than just being saved and knowing that you're going to heaven. The resurrection power of Christ, as Paul says, is available to each believer now if we are willing to let God work in us. That power is for victory over sin on a day-to-day basis or a case-to-case basis. We can have victory over sin each time we're tempted if we will yield to Christ. Also, in this yielding, we find power to attain our goals and ultimately become effective witnesses for Christ. Now, I like what Peter says. He says in 2 Peter 3, verse 17, this is interesting. Notice what he talks about growing in grace. His goal for these churches, Peter had a part in these churches, was that they would grow. Notice what he says, though. Ye therefore, beloved, that's talking to us, that's the church. When he uses the term beloved, that's the saved. Seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Can we fall? Sure. Can we trip? Yes. We're living for God, serving Christ. We all know in the new year we're going to mess up. We're going to have a little hiccup here and there. We're going to stumble. We're going to get burnt out maybe here and there. What's he say, though? Be careful. Be aware. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the goal is to grow in grace, isn't it? Grow in grace. Keep going. The only way you're going to grow in Christ is with his grace. We can't do it on our own. We've tried and tried again, and we fail and fail and fail. So again, Peter says, along with Paul, make sure you're focused on what you're doing. Beware, that's an awareness, and grow. So your growth is up to you. My growth is up to me. Nobody can grow for you spiritually. No one can be pure for you. Nobody else can be pure for you. Nobody else can grow for you, right? These are personal things you've got to do. So let's look at a few things here. Number one, I want to encourage you to set worthy goals for growing in grace. Now, our text that we just read, Paul set worthy goals for growing in grace. Paul's goals were noble, realistic, and attainable. I put beside that little acronym, SMART, SMART. Remember that. Your goals should be SMART. Every goal you set in the new year, think about this. One, they should be serious goals. Don't be fluffy goals. They got to be serious goals. Something serious. Make sure it's relevant, okay? Number two should be measurable. You should be able to measure it. Well, I'm going to gain 200 pounds of muscle this year. Okay, that's not going to happen. All right, I'm gonna make $1 million this year. No, you're not. Probably not. If you do, let me know, okay? Well, it's measurable. Make sure you can measure it, okay? I'm going to memorize the book of 1 John. That's something you could do. But you better measure it. Well, let's say by the 15th, I'll have chapter 1 memorized. You got to set it, or else you won't do it. It's also got to be attainable. Again, kind of a little redundant, but attainable. Is it something you can actually do? You may not become a mechanical engineer this year. It might take a little time, okay? It's going to take some education. Is it attainable? Is it realistic? It's not just fantasy. So many people set goals. They're just fantasy. They're make-believe. And when they can't attain it, they feel good about them. Well, at least I set the goal. Well, I had a good intention of saving you from drowning, but I didn't want to get wet. No, your good intentions don't matter, do they? You needed to get in and save me. Are they timed then? Time them. Again, like we say, make sure they're timed. I'm going to finish this task by this date. Okay, now let's look at Paul's. Well, look at about six things that I gathered from this text, number one under this, that he might know Christ to the fullest. That's what he says. I want to know Christ. He says in verse 7 again, but what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. So he has a comparison. In your life, comparison is always a good thing. Well, I know what this is like, so I know what this is like. I'm going to compare them. I know that maybe 25 years ago or whatever, on New Year's Eve, you may have been in the gutter sick as a dog. Because you partied too much. Okay, so you know that now. Okay, now, I've grown, I've matured maybe here. He says, I might know Christ. I want to know him. I want to get closer to him as much as I can. Number two, that he would rest only in the righteousness of Christ. Far too many people rely upon their own righteousness, don't they? Well, I'll clean myself up. I'll get myself right. I'll do what I think is right. Paul says, no, I realize that the righteousness comes under the law. And that brought me nothing. You know, there's a lot of religious people. The most religious person that probably ever lived was Paul, didn't he? That's what he said in the beginning chapter of chapter 3, beginning verses. You can have all the religion. You can be spotless. You can walk around, have the right clothes on, say the right words, go to the right church, have the right Bible, and be wicked as a dog, right? That's what Paul, You can have religion without a relationship. But he says, I rest only in the righteousness of Christ. Thirdly, that he would know the power of his resurrection. Now, people get confused about this. There is coming a resurrection. Okay, when you die, if you're saved, if you're in Christ, there's a resurrection. You're going to be resurrected. You'll be with the Lord for all of eternity. Those that are unsaved will be resurrected to what? Damnation. But the resurrection isn't just for our salvation. What is it for? It's for the power on earth as well. That you and I can have power over sin. Because we're what? We're new creatures in Christ. We've literally been resurrected, a new being, he says in 2 Corinthians 5. So Paul says, I want the power of that resurrection. Fourthly, that he would know the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, this is something a little bit interesting. A lot of people have debated over this. But when you go through sufferings and you're right with God, you're with God, there's actually a fellowship with the Lord Jesus that you have. If you know anything about Jesus' life on this earth, you know this. Isaiah 53 says he was acquainted with grief, a man of sorrow. Acquainted means his life was daily a grief, sorrowful. His entire life on this earth was difficult. It really was. I mean, did he have good days? Absolutely. You know, we know that. But his life was difficult. And Paul says, I want to have that fellowship with his sufferings. I identify with him. Fellowship means identity. We can't fellowship with each other tonight if there's not identity, right? So we fellowship with each other. We identify in the same doctrine and beliefs and so on. And he says, I identify with his sufferings. He says later in Hebrews, or the author of Hebrews, says what? That we can come before him. Our high priest, Jesus, right, can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore what come boldly under the throne of grace. Why? Because he understands us. He knows what we're going through. It's so sad to see Christians when they go through suffering or pain or difficulty, they turn from God, don't they? Well, I don't need that. Did nothing for me. They get real bitter. Instead of when you go through a difficulty, you actually get closer to the Lord and there's that fellowship that you have. And you say, Lord, you know what I'm going through. He says, yeah. You know what it's happening. Yeah. Okay, fifthly, that he would conform to his death. Go back a chapter to chapter 2 there. Notice what he says in verse 5. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So notice, it shows what he did. He didn't come as a roaring lion. He didn't come with the red carpet rolled out for him, them feeding him grapes, putting a gold crown on his head, waving a palm leaf. Oh, Lord Jesus. No, he came as a servant. Nobody knew who he was. The backside of the desert. He was known, as we said on Sunday, Mark chapter 6. Is not this the carpenter? I mean, they couldn't even use his name. You know, is this not Yeshua, Jesus? Is it the carpenter? The carpenter guy? He just did work on my house last week. He's claiming to be the Messiah? This is what he was. Now, this is what he's saying. He conformed to his death. His death? Paul desired to be found worthy in his death, to be found worthy to be with Christ. Number 6, then, that he would prepare for himself a good resurrection. That's true. A good resurrection. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 talks about that. And he says, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. Not to me only, but what? To them also that believe. That's us. There's a resurrection. I hope you're looking forward to that day. And some people will be before the Lord very ashamed and sad because they lived a very wasteful life on this earth. Although they were saved, yeah, one author puts it, yet so as by what? Fire. They were only saved from the flame. They didn't do much else for the Lord. Okay, letter B then under that. We must forget what is behind and constantly press toward the goal. Okay, chapter 3 again, verse 14, I press toward the mark. What's the mark? Here's the mark. I'm pressing towards the target. Oh, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Has God called you tonight? Yes. Has God called you to lead? Yes. If you're saved tonight, you're called to lead other people spiritually. It don't matter where I can't teach. I don't do anything. Yes, you can. People are watching you. You should lead them, number one, to Christ. Share the gospel with them. There have been mistakes and failures in the past, Paul says, but there's also been successes. Don't allow them to hinder you. Keep going. Did you mess up? Sure. Do you maybe, is there a relationship you need to get right? Sure, maybe do it. Handle it. Something you need to do? Yeah. But keep going forward. Don't quit. This is why Paul says 1 Corinthians 15, what? Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So Paul says, keep pressing on. Why? Because the church at Corinth wanted to quit. They wanted to put it into neutral. Just coast along. Well, it'll coast for a while. Well, you hit that little hill, and it just stops, and you start going this way. Isn't it funny? You don't go and just stop. Every time you hit a hill, you always go backwards, and you backslide. That's what happens to all of us. Number two, though, not only setting worthy goals, notice, be prepared to pay the price. Now, Paul makes this clear. He says, Paul counted all else loss that he might attain his goal. Again, excuse me, he says in verse 4, though I might also have a confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I, notice more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. He says, here's my zeal. What are your pedigree? What's your pedigree? Zeal for God, I persecuted the church. I murdered people, literally had people killed, touching the righteousness that's in the law, blameless. So he counted the cost. What is it? I got to put all that aside. Can you imagine studying and going to school for year after year, 8, 9, 10 years, and then one day waking up and going, I'm going to change jobs. I'm going to do something else. That would be frustrating, wouldn't it? I mean, Paul went to school, studied at the feet of a guy by the name of Gamaliel, one of the most intellectual. Everyone revered this man in Jerusalem as the most theological person. Paul sat under him. He was literally one of his proteges, right? But he woke up after having that great confrontation on the road to Damascus. Changed his goal. Letter B, Paul labored constantly towards these goals. He knew he would never master them, but he knew that he must labor diligently for them, okay? Paul's not making a claim here that he's better than anybody. That's what he's clarifying. He says, listen, I'm not saying I'm better than any of you. I'm not saying I'm a super spiritual person, although he was. He's making it clear that I've set goals, but I'm not attained yet. Apprehend means to lay hold of, to make one's own, to obtain, attain, to take into oneself, to appropriate, to seize upon, take possession of. So you understand that. Notice a few things under this, though, that laziness will bring sure defeat. He labored towards these things and was careful not to be lazy. Laziness will bring it. Procrastination is a form of laziness. Always taking the easy way can be a form of laziness. We know that. Hard work will bring God's blessings. Well, what's he say in Ephesians 4:28? He says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, he gives a good contrast there. Some people, there was an accusation in this particular setting of somebody stealing. He says, let him that stole steal no more. So use that hand that stole now to what? To use it for God's work. And I love to see that when people, we had one fella come out of, he used to play in I don't know what kind of band it was. But he was good. He played in a band. He came out of that, got saved, got right with God, and he used his talent for the Lord for the rest of his life or something like that, you know, some kind of story like that. I love to hear those stories. But Paul says, now labor, what? Working with your hands. Now in the new year, I want to encourage you with this. You have talents. You have things that you're good at. Use it for yourself. Yeah, but use it for God's glory. Do something for God with that. I don't know what it is. Do something for God with whatever you have in that. Paul says, I'm going to labor constantly towards that. But notice letter C, Paul also kept his life very simple. He says, this one thing I do. I like that. This one thing I do. He's centered on that. Jesus was supreme in his life. Now we know he's to have first place before everything, before family, before your own life, before your possessions. He says in Luke 14:26, if any man come to me, and what's he say? Hate not his father, mother, wife, turn it over, children, brethren, sisters, yea, his own life also. He cannot be my disciple, can he? Now again, you know what he's talking about. He doesn't say, well, hate everybody. He uses that word hate because it's a very strong word. But he says your love for Christ ought to be so focused, One, that it is as if, not in a hateful, mean, spiteful way you treat people, but that he's number one so high up on your list. Okay. And by the way, when Jesus is first, all of your other relationships only improve. They don't get worse. Right? Jesus is first, you neglect your wife. No, your relationship gets a lot better. I mean, a lot better. Your kids, man, the relationship gets a lot better. What's the problem? Daddy's not right with God. It hurts wife. It hurts family. Hurts finances. We go on and on. Okay? And then number two, the work of Jesus Christ had first priority in his life. I like Psalm 37:4. Notice, delight thyself also in the Lord. Notice, also in the Lord. There's other things you find delight in, but he says, make sure the Lord's in that, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now again, when God is a delight to you, you find joy in that. I find a delight. I like doing that. His desires become your desires, don't they? It's not that, well, I'll delight myself in the Lord, and then he'll give me the money and the car and the house and the things I want. Boy, I hope I can get all that. No. His desires become your desires. Right? Matthew 6:33, you know it well. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, first, and his righteousness, and then, notice, all these things shall be added unto you. So God will take care of you. Not only the work of Jesus had first priority, but he forgot what was behind and constantly pressed towards the goal. So if you're going to run towards the finish line, you can't be looking behind you. You know, you'll run right into the brick wall. Okay, driving, you can't be looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to crash. You got to stay focused. Glance every once in a while. Make sure, okay, that semi-truck's coming up pretty fast on me, okay? I better get out of the fast lane. You glance at the rear view every once in a while to remind you where you are, right? But don't stare at it. You're going to crash. You got to stay focused, forward, onward, and forward. Okay, number three, then, keep yourself pure. If we're going to attain our goals this year, not only do we have to set worthy goals, not only do we have to really focus on Jesus Christ, but notice, keep yourself pure. Now, Daniel 1:8, it says of Daniel that he purposed. Very few times this word purposed is used in the Bible, but notice what it says. He purposed in his heart that he would what? Not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, just a quick setting of that, you know, but they were just captured. These were captured Hebrew Jewish boys, and they would take these boys, especially we believe them to be a little bit younger, maybe in their late teens, early 20s, and they would use them in very foul ways. They would, you know, I'll be careful what I say here because we got younger people, but they would molest them. They would use them in very sick things. They would hurt them physically, beat them and whip them and all kinds of stuff. Not only that, but they had just probably murdered most of their family members when they took them captive. And now he's sitting here at this table, and the guy says, here's meat and wine. Man, that sounds good. They're hungry. You know that, starving. And he says, were these offered to idols, false idols? Well, absolutely, of course. He says, we don't want them. And by the way, Daniel's the only one that spoke up. We don't want them. And he says, I'm going to purpose that I won't defile myself with this ungodly thing. Psalm 17:3, he says, thou hast proved mine heart. Thou's visited me in the night, or excuse me, in the night, thou hast tried me, and shalt find nothing on purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. So again, here's the purpose. I'm purposed. I want to keep myself pure. The only way we're going to attain our goals in this new year is to purpose to be pure. Pure. So letter A, to keep pure, you must remember that sin is a present problem. By way of that, 1 John 1 talks about this, verse 8. You know these verses well again, but if we say we have no sin, we deceive who? We deceive ourselves. We deceive a lot of people, but we deceive ourselves sometimes. You're just foolish. And the truth is not in us. By the way, I can put on a pretty good show, right? I mean, you wouldn't think I would ever do something of this or that. All of us can put on a pretty good show, can't we? But he says we deceive ourselves. If we confess our sins, though, notice he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. So what I mean is, it's a present problem. Handle it now. So if you're like me, I put it off all the time. Lord convicts me about something, and I go, okay, Lord, I'll handle that later. Just confess it. And a good principle that I've learned in my life, on the spot, confess it. right away. Lord, forgive me of that. I know. Lord, I confess that sin to you. That wasn't right. Letter B, though, to keep yourself pure, you must cleanse yourself of the filth. Now, the Holy Spirit is here to help us. The Lord is going to help us cleanse ourselves, but we've got to have a part in that. We've got to put forth some effort in this. For he says in 2 Corinthians 7, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Also, 1 John 3, and every man, verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So who's our example? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's pure. He's holy. He's righteous. There is no blemish in him. There is no sin in him. And we look at him and say, Lord, I want to be like you, purifying ourselves. Just a couple things under this. We need to keep our minds pure. Okay, again, 2 Peter, I'm giving you a lot of verses, but I want to encourage you, study these on your own when you get home, because they'll greatly encourage you. 2 Peter 3, verse 1, he says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. When your mind is pure, boy, the Lord brings to light a lot of things. It's pureness, right? The pure in heart, they'll see God. What's that? You have clear vision. When the heart is clean, the vision is clear. When the heart is clean, the vision is clear. When the heart is dirty, contaminated, it's impure, sickness, sexuality, perversion, all these things, what happens? You lose vision. It's hard to come to church. You don't feel like reading your Bible. I don't want to do those things, right? So we keep our mind pure. A couple things here and we'll be done. Refuse to watch or read filth. Now again, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but just to reiterate some things, but TV, movies, social media, gaming, Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, things like that. Dirty stuff on there. Blood and guts and shooting and killing people and all kinds of illicit stuff. Some of you older folks maybe not know that, but this stuff is vile. We've got to be careful about that. You know that. TV and movies, social media, things that just pop up. Man, it's difficult sometimes, but be cautious about those things. Psalm 101:3, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Is that possible to do? Doesn't seem like it, does it? But he says, I'll set no wicked thing. Yeah, it's easy because he was talking about back when they had no social media, no TV. They didn't have any entertainment. Oh, yes, they did. Yes, they did. You go to the local Coliseum, and you could watch the Christians get murdered. They'd bring out the lions and the tigers and all that and let the just wreak havoc on those poor Christians in the Coliseum. Let them eat them up and everything. It's nasty. You go through, they had all kinds of stuff. Well, we won't go there. Okay, let's keep going. Refuse to listen to or speak filth. Bad music, gossip, bad language. Man, bad language is something real hard for me. I had a lot of trouble coming out of bad language. Sometimes it just slips. Does it ever slip for you sometimes? Slips out. Oh, geez. I don't know why I said that. But that what? It's again, it's just a picture into the old heart there, isn't it? Keep a pure body. We know that. Avoid fornication. We don't have to read all those verses, but you know where he's going there. Avoid sinful behavior in general, right? Sinful behavior. You know, a lot of things going on, drugs and unnecessary things like that that we got to avoid. Keep a pure spirit. Keep a pure spirit. Again, 1 Peter 2, he says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies, envies, all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, you may grow thereby. Now, in order to grow and desire the milk, you got to set aside those things. Okay, you got to set it aside. Okay, Lord, I want to desire the milk. I want the truth, Lord. See, you can't add that with them. You got sinfulness, bad behavior, bad habits, fornication, bad language, foul mouth, watching perverse things all the time. Okay, Lord, speak. I'm ready. It's not going to happen, is it? We've got to lay aside, okay? And when you lay aside, you're going to feel a little bit awkward. It's going to be a little quiet, weird, right? Lord, now what? What do I do now? He'll show you. Spend time in this book. He'll show you, right? Okay, keep it. A pure spirit. Avoid bitterness, wrath, anger. He says that again in Ephesians 4, verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. How do we grieve him? Well, listen to this. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. That's just obnoxiousness, right? Evil speaking. Be put away from you. All malice, hate. That's hate in your heart. That's jealousy. envy. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the kicker right there. I can't forgive that bozo. You know what he did to me? I gave him that jerk. Well, even as what? Christ forgave you, right? Even, you always think about that. Okay, Lord, you're right. Avoid evil speaking and so on. Okay, then lastly here, let's see. To keep pure, you and I must stay in the Word. Okay, this is very clear. Stay in the Word. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How does a young man get right with God? Clean himself up. Well, it's not by taking a shower. It's by taking heed thereto according to thy word. You got to read the word, but you also got to take heed. I like that. Take heed means to stop, listen, and obey. Did you hear me, boy? Did you hear me? What did we say that to you? Did you hear me? Yes, but they didn't hear you, did they? Are you listening to me? Yes, they're not listening, are they? What do we say? Are you listening? Taking heed, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. If we memorize Scripture, I don't encourage you with that. This year, you need to memorize Scripture. Oh, I can't do that. I'm too old. Yes, you can. You and I can do that. I can't do that. I'm not good at memorizing. I have dyslexia. I have some kind of... Yes, you can. Work at that. Take a little 3x5 cards or something like that, write them down, put them in your pocket, and just read them over and over and over. What is it doing? It's keeping me from sinning if I hide it in my heart. There's no room for those things. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It guides you down your path. It's a lamp to show you the next step. Now, you don't know what to do in March. Do you know what's going to happen in March? No. But I could possibly know what could happen in about 5 minutes. See what it is? It's a lamp. It's not a shining beacon out. It's a lamp. A lamp gives off just a little bit of light. Next step, right? Here's the next step. Here's it. Lord, what if I mess up tomorrow? Don't think about that. Paul says, press toward the mark. Let the word guide you. Okay, Lord, next step. Next step. I can do that. Okay, read the Bible daily and obey it. You know that. Now, a little insight to Sunday. On Sunday, I'm going to reveal to you Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is going to be our text for the new year. I'm excited. But notice Psalm 1 in verse 1, what he says. Blessed is the man, what? Walketh. Not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Notice verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth fruit in his season, leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Isn't that wonderful? See, that tree is bringing forth fruit. It's not withering. It's not weak. It's not falling apart. It's doing what it's supposed to do. It's vibrant. It's healthy. Number 2, determine to read the Bible through in the next year. I want to encourage you with that as well, especially. Encourage you. Read the Bible through. Make time to do that. Set aside what it is. Take the time that you enjoy watching your favorite show or whatever. Does it ever amaze you that you can sit down and watch a 4-hour game or something without even batting an eye? It's like 4 hours. I watched a whole football game, but I sit down to read my Bible. Do you do that? And I'm going, Lord, help me to get through this chapter, and it's only 4 verses, I need help. That's where my priorities are, right? Determined to read the Bible through. Now, on Sunday, we're going to give you a little bag like we usually do. It's got some goodies in it, but it's also going to have a Bible reading calendar in it. And I want to encourage you to read through the Bible. Take time to do that because it'll greatly encourage you. Now, if the Lord allows us to live out the year 2025, it will be a successful year only if you purpose now to make it a successful year. We've got a purpose. If Jesus Christ is supreme and your attention is continually focused on Him, everything else will fall in its proper place, right? We know that. All right. Well, I thank you for listening. Again, like I say, make some resolutions. Sit down maybe tonight or tomorrow, if you haven't already done it, and just take a little legal pad or a piece of paper. Write out some goals. I want to pay off some debt. We want to do this. I want to do that. Whatever it is, but also make a goal. Lord, I want to help me. I want to memorize the book of Jude. I want to memorize 1 John, 2nd, little books. Start out with something. I want to memorize some scripture. I want to memorize verses on anger or on debt or something, right? And write those goals out. Lord, I'm going to read through the Bible this year from Genesis to Revelation. Whatever it is, I'm going to share the gospel with a family member. I'm going to really try to get that person in church this year. Amen. You all are good at that, by the way. All of you are good at inviting people and reaching them. Set some goals out. Do it. Again, take these notes home with you. Study these verses for yourself and make some notes on this paper. And you'll be surprised at what the Bible has to say about certain topics and subjects. Amen? All right. Well, we'll get back in the swing of things here in January. And Lord willing, we'll see you on Sunday. I want to see you Sunday morning. I really do. Make sure you make time to be here. And all of you are thankful for you. But make some time to be here. I'm glad to see you tonight. Thank you for coming out on this kind of a holiday. And I appreciate all of you. We're kicking it off just right, aren't we? Amen. All right, Lord, thank you for this evening and for these dear folks, precious people. I thank you for them. They're so faithful, and I thank you, Lord. All of us are enduring and going through a difficult season, some things that we can't share publicly, Lord. We're all dealing with some battles. And God, I thank you that we can come together in your grace. Help us in this new year. We look forward to it. We pray that this year would be the year that we grow the most, and we'll continue pressing towards that mark, and we'll finish our course with joy. We'll fight a good fight, finish our race. We thank you and love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.